Road by Cormac McCarthy, pages 153 to 177. The section, there's a little bit of a flip, and we can argue about this as the book goes on regarding the substance behind it. But in many ways, we see that the man is trying to maintain his parental status over the boy. And not that at some point he'd stop being a parent to the child, regardless of how old the child becomes, as he becomes a teenager into adulthood, he'd still be his parent. But in many ways, what we see here in this section is that the father is trying to maintain his son's innocence in a world that no longer allows for innocence to be even an option. We're getting a sense more and more he's trying to hold on to that protectability, if we're going to make up a word here, that is necessary for survival. This is an extremely difficult section. Between the descriptions of the setting and the general atmosphere, to the presentation of the people along the way, both the corpses basically melted and combined with the road itself, to the three men and the one woman that we see in this horrific state, and ultimately coming upon their campfire later on and what they were attempting to cook and eat. All of this is showing a true loss of humanness, that we have to consider the fact that protecting a boy from these horrific images and the long-lasting impact we know it would have on any person's mental state is seemingly impossible. But the father is trying to maintain this, all the while the boy is becoming slightly numb to it. And you got to ask yourself as a reader, are we getting to a point from a journey standpoint where the boy's empathy is going to start to take a hit? Are we going to see a colder, a number version of the boy? And that's what's kind of in the balance here in this section. It's not a long reading, but there's a heaviness to it. To the point where that when we talked about in class, say, that description of the dream of the men burning the snakes, silently burning out these snakes as they are creatures that do not make noise. And using that as an example and potentially some foreshadowing of what is going to be coming our way is just a level of bleakness in two different ways. One, that people can commit tremendous acts of violence and then go on their way. And also, the only way to deal with evil is to inflict evil unto itself. So I want you to consider these facts. I want you to think about this from both the boy's perspective and the father's perspective. The son is growing up. While still a young boy, what he has seen is aging him maybe in a quicker way than the father would like, which is understandable. The father's ability to maintain this child as a child against all odds. You know, we have not seen references to the boy bringing out toys. We have to assume that many of them have been lost or left along the way. We do not get a lot of references of them playing games anymore. It's conversation. And then after coming across the campfire, where the people, the three men and the woman, we believe, were there and now they've disappeared, where what is cooking on the fire is a decapitated infant that we are to believe has just recently come from the woman who was pregnant. It is an incredibly grotesque, graphic, disturbing scene. As we discussed in class, the movie does not include this. So I want us to talk about that and think about that. We have, in many ways, hit our rock bottom. This is something that even the boy, upon recognizing what it is, he's putting his face into his father's stomach to not see what is happening. But he can't see or can't unsee what he has already seen. And as they try to talk about it and discuss it, it's the father who's trying to kind of move forward from it because he does not have an answer. There are no words to explain what has happened, what would cause someone to behave in this way. And how do you bring up and raise a child where this practice and this sort of desolate existence is what people have been reduced to? We have two more sections we're going to be going over in this text, but I do think this one is one that we need to come back to. The boy is slightly maturing in a way where the father and son are feeling a distance. And one of the things we brought up in class was that distance did center around the concept that the boy is aware of the father's health. As the father deals with his illnesses and sickness, that in many ways the boy could be preparing for life without his father. We also get a sense that possibly the son is now taking a little bit more of a role, an active role, in taking care of the father. Maybe not physically yet, but emotionally at times with these conversations. And while they are still father and son, they are each other's. We would talk about this in class a lot, their emotional life raft. It's the only other voice that they are hearing beyond the one inside their own heads. And the fact that their dreams that they have, they cannot really trust anymore. And they're not confident or comfortable with the dreams they're having. And we know the boy is having nightmares frequently, mentioning in this section that he didn't want to talk about the nightmare. The father having flashbacks, different eras of his life. Combining that with the idea of the judgment of past fathers, that historical aspect. What does this moment mean? What does judgment mean by our ancestors? If the present is so bleak and there isn't much of a future, how much value should we even put into the past? It's one of the aspects of this book we've been talking about. We're supposed to learn from the past. But is there anything in the past that has taught us or prepared us for what is happening in this novel during the present? With such an unknown and uncertain future, it's hard to sort of see that anything matters beyond just what's in front of them. And any judgment from past ancestors, whether it's true judgment or just completely manufactured make-believe, needs to be considered in the fact that should we even worry about how things used to be or the lessons that were learned previous, because that world is gone, it's broken, and we do not know where we're headed. The man and the boy are in a constant state of just being in the moment. They can learn from past mistakes occasionally, but this is basically a new world. The only things being carried over truly are some of the food products that have been left behind. We do not see a social structure. There are no communities that leaves a series of isolated individuals being reduced to pure horror and decisions that seem unfathomable, inhumane, self-destructive, and ultimately mentally and emotionally destroying. Cormac McCarthy does an amazing job of setting the tone here, reminding us of the destruction that's taken place, and that what we consider human and what we hold as our truths and the lines that we would say we would never, ever cross, the question is, are there actually lines? And the father and son are trying to maintain those lines that deep down in their heart, in their soul, they feel should never be crossed. And as we discuss the concept of good guys and bad guys, I do believe that's where we're going to center this conversation. that the father and son, the fire that they talk about, we'll get there at the end of the novel, isn't just about moving forward. It's also about trying to maintain a sense of morality in a completely immoral world.